Open your Bibles, if you would, with me this morning to the 16th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 16, we'll actually read the whole chapter, but it's only 15 verses long. You will remember a few months ago, Wes Avent preached a message from the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis. It was a time in the life of Abram, who later became Abraham, when God pulls Abram aside and talks to him again. He has already promised him a number of times that he was going to bless him, and one of those blessings that he was going to make a great nation from his descendants. At this point, Abram was childless, and so God entered into a covenant relationship, actually went through the covenant ceremony, took animals and sacrificed them, cut them in half, laid the two pieces apart. And God, in a certain form, walked with Abraham between these, sealing the covenant that they were making. And it says that Abram believed God, and it was counted for him for righteousness, that he believed God. Now we come a time later, and we really don't know the time differential between chapter 15 in chapter 16, there is some time, but we don't know how much. It's probably not a lot of time. Maybe a couple of years, I would think, at most. And we pick up the narrative here with having just gone through the reminder that God had promised Abram he was going to give him a son, and that son would be the father of a great nation. Now we come, and we come back into the situation, and we see where Abram's wife Sarah, or Sarai, later renamed Sarah. Abram is later renamed Abraham at the birth of Isaac, their son, some 14 years after this event. That as God is working in their lives, they make a major mistake. And the mistake they make really can be traced back and boiled down to the fact that they use their own reasoning. And the only problem with their reasoning is that it was human reasoning. It was human reasoning that was reasoned outside the parameters that God had already laid out. And God had laid out a promise, and actually a series of promises, but one of those promises that God had made to them was that you are going to have a child. You're going to bear a son. And by this stage in their life, they didn't believe it anymore. Now, in Sarai's defense, at this point, she is right at 75 years old, right in that range somewhere. Abraham is about 85 to 86 years old. By the end of the story, he's 86. But all this is happening, and Sarai has determined that God is not going to use her to bring Abraham a son, or Abram a son. And so she starts reasoning out a way that she can accomplish this. And so she uses her ideas and her understanding, and she begins a series of actions that truly changed history. And the problem with changing history is when it is changed by human reasoning, it is not always changed for the best. Because our reasoning held outside the parameters that God lays out for us to use our reasoning within, it will create issues. Why? Because we are fallen beings. We are sinful creatures. Our reasoning usually is flawed because it is based in that reality of sin and our own limited ability to see down the road. And what we're going to see as these events happen there in ancient human history is that when we live by our own reasoning, and we forget to remember what God has promised us, things will happen that we never imagined would happen. Situations arise, and circumstance persists that we never thought we would ever see. And they can be great tragedies. There is the way of human reasoning, and it is always best to be tempered with the promises of God. Let's read about this together now in Genesis 16, 1 through 15. Abram's wife Sarai had not borne any children for him, but she owned an Egyptian slave named Hagar. Sarai said to Abram, "Since the Lord has prevented me from bearing children, go to my slave, perhaps through her I can build a family." And Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar, her Egyptian slave, and gave her to her husband Abraham as a wife for him. This happened after Abram had lived in the land of Canaan for 10 years. He slept with Hagar, and she became pregnant. And when she realized that she was pregnant, she treated her mistress with contempt. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for my suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and ever since she saw that she was pregnant, she has treated me with contempt. May the Lord judge between me and you." And Abram replied to Sarai, "Here, your slave is in your hands. Do whatever you want with her." Then Sarai mistreated her so much that she ran away from her. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness. The spring is on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, have you come from, and where are you going?" And she replied, "I am running away from my mistress Sarai." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "You must go back to your mistress and submit to her mistreatment." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "I will greatly multiply your offspring, and they will be too many to count." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "You have conceived and will have a son, and you will name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your cry of affliction. This man will be like a wild donkey. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live at odds with all his brothers." So she called the Lord, who spoke to her, the God who sees, for she said, "In this place I have actually seen the one who sees me." That is why she named the spring a well of the living one who sees me, and is located between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar gave birth to Abram's son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son Hagar had. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael, his son. Now, here is this event. And here is this difficult situation that arose. But what we see here in the reality that Sarai and Abram at this stage in their life reasoned out a plan, what they thought would accomplish God's will. But what they forgot to do was to remember that God is God, and that God is in control. And to God, things that are natural are not limiting to Him. Sarai thought, since she was 75 years old and had borne no children, that she could not bear a child. And so she began to reason out a way where she could bring Abram a family. And Abram, being 85 years old at this point, looked at this situation and thought perhaps he would not be able to bear a son. So they began to conceive an idea. And the idea is really based in the concept that they just didn't believe God anymore. Now, when you go back and you read that 15th chapter that I referred to a little while ago, you will see that God told Abram, "I am going to give you a son, and your son is going to become the father of a great nation." And they entered into a covenant. They went through the ritual of a covenant experience. And into a covenant in ancient Israel was an unbreakable contract, an unbreakable promise made from one to the other, that Abram would remember and honor God and believe Him, and that God would give him a son. Now, some time has gone by. Again, we don't know how much, but there has been a period of time. And Sarai looks at the situation, and in her human understanding, in the reasoning that she has come to the conclusion that God is not going to be faithful to her. Now, maybe in her mind she's thinking he's going to be faithful to Abram, but not to me. I cannot bear a son. I'm 75 years old. This thing isn't going to happen. And so, in their culture, she found a loophole. She found an answer. She had an Egyptian slave girl, a young woman of childbearing age. And since she was the owner of Hagar, all the children that Hagar would ever have would actually be her children. Now, this was a cultural reality. We have a little trouble relating to it, but that's the way it was. And it also was perfectly culturally acceptable for her to permit Abram to take Hagar as his wife, as a second wife, if you will. A second wife, but still she would be a slave and a servant and not have the status of a full wife. And so this was her plan. And she approaches Abram. She says, "Hey, honey, I got an idea." And by the time she gets to explaining the idea, Abram's all for it. "It's a good idea. Yeah, sounds good to me. Here is this young Egyptian woman, certainly of childbearing years. He does not have a child. And maybe they are reasoning within themselves for whatever reason that this is how God's going to do it. The problem of it is they have begun to not believe God. They have begun to think that God is not going to do what he had promised them. What we read in the chapter before this, that Abram believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, now by his behavior, he exhibits that he doesn't really believe God quite so much, and then we see the act of unrighteousness that comes from it. But before we start throwing too many rocks at Abram and Sarai, and we become too judgmental against them, let us remember this is the nature of humanity. And as I said earlier, the only problem with human reasoning is that it is human reasoning. And it is tainted by the reality of a sinful nature. Adam and Eve had been given parameters to use their reasoning within the concept and constructs of God's creation. But somewhere along the line, they came to reason that if they ate of the forbidden fruit, that they would become like God. And they reasoned that it would be to their benefit to do that, and so they sinned against God. And the sinful nature of human reason has been a plague upon us ever since. Now, human reason in itself is not evil. Human reason within itself is a blessing. It is something that God gave us in the created act that actually makes us different than the rest of creation. Nothing else in creation has the reasoning power that we have. That we can reason things out, that we have this abstract thinking, that we can teach things from one generation to the next, and they can add to it and add to it and add to it, that they can have education. I know fish go to school, but it's different than the ones we go to. It has a different point. We have this ability. And reason within itself can be a very good thing. But the problem we have with human reasoning is we use it outside the parameters that God has laid for us to use it within. And then it becomes destructive. Then it becomes a problem. Then we start thinking, huh, God's not going to do what I think he's going to do. He's not going to give me a child as I think he will because I'm a 75-year-old woman. So I'm going to give my slave girl to my husband for them to live together as husband and wife so she can bear my child. That was the human reasoning. And it created issues. And the issues began because they did not believe God. And when we start using our reasoning in our day-in, day-out activities, in our lives every day, and we start reasoning within our own culture, within our own thought process, within our own ability to exact logic, it almost inevitably will lead us to a place where we'll begin to wonder, does God really mean that? Will I surely die? Will problems come from that? Why, everybody in culture says it's okay. Our society says it's just fine. You see, what Abram and Sarai did was perfectly acceptable within their culture, in their time, in their frame, but it was outside the promise of God. And we have to weigh that, and we have to be cautious about that, and we have to consider that because human reasoning left unchecked will create doubt of God within our hearts and within our minds. And that's a problem. Another thing that human reason will do, it will lead us to a place that we did not anticipate. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, verse 5. And Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for my suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and ever since she saw that she was pregnant, she has treated me with contempt. May the Lord judge between me and you." Sarai is an unhappy wife. And when mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. What happened? And Sarai did not anticipate this. And this is what sin does. This is where human logic will take us and human reason will take us almost without exception. There will be results coming from that that we never anticipated. Adam and Eve never anticipated they would be cast out of the garden when they ate the forbidden fruit. But it happened. Here they have this relationship. She sends her slave girl, Hagar, in to be with Abram. Abram accepts this, sleeps with her. They conceive a child, and now Hagar thinks she's a wife. Not only does she think she's a wife, she thinks she is a wife with child, and in this culture, that made her superior. No longer, in Hagar's mind, no longer was she Sarai's servant, but now she was blessed with Abram's child. And that made her superior. And she began to treat her with contempt. And Sarai did not like this. This upset her. It angered her. It frustrated her so much that she approaches Abram and she says, "You are the cause of my misery. This is your fault. I sent her in to be with you. You slept with her, and now she's pregnant, and she does not obey me anymore, and I'm not going to put up with it." There is a pound of flesh that must be paid. Abram, being the brave, strong leader man he was, says, "She's your slave. You take care of it." I can identify. But the reality is they never anticipated this. They thought, okay, my servant will become pregnant with my husband's child, and then we'll have the child, and I will raise him as my son, and it'll just be one big happy family. They forgot to anticipate human reality. Now, they knew this was wrong. They knew this was outside God's will. They knew that God had promised them a child, and it wasn't going to come through some sort of an adulterous situation. But yet, in their human reasoning, they found a loophole, they thought, and they thought they could go through it, and they thought they could come through unscathed. But it never, ever, ever happens that way. There are always results we never anticipate. Later in Israel's history, there was a man named Moses leading a nation out through the wilderness. They needed water, and they were grumbling and whining and complaining, and Moses loses patience with them. He did something he had done before. He goes to a rock and God says, "Speak to this rock and I'll bring water out of it." And he speaks to the rock and he strikes the rock. Moses strikes the rock with his staff and he says, "We give you water." And water flowed. He usurped the authority of God and claimed God's power for himself. And that prohibited him from physically entering the promised land. He didn't anticipate that. Later in Israel's history, there was a king named David out on his rooftop one day, and he looks across the way and he notices a beautiful woman bathing on top of her roof. And his human logic reasoning tells him it is good to be king. He calls her in and almost destroys his kingdom. He did not anticipate that. Had he anticipated that, he would have never called Bathsheba over. Had Moses anticipated what was going to happen, he would have never struck the rock. He would have spoken to the rock as God instructed him. Had Sarai anticipated the antipathy that was going to come between her and her servant girl Hagar, and how the relationship with her husband was going to be damaged, and how her relationship with God was going to be damaged, she never would have come up with this idea and sent her husband in. And it's not her fault either. He should have been man enough to say, "This is not a good idea." Abram should have stood up and said, "Sarai, this is not going to work. God has promised us that promised me that we are going to have a child. We are in a covenant relationship with the God of the universe. Let's trust him. But nope, the Egyptian slave girl was too tempting. So he goes in and he's with her. And all of this trouble happens. Understand that sin will take us to a place we never anticipated. It'll do it. If a person knew, if they have an alcoholic issue or if they have a drug addiction problem, if they knew where that was going to take them, they would never take their first drink or take their first hit. It would never happen. They don't see it. But it comes. Sin takes us to a place we never anticipate. And we sin so often out of our human reasoning. We find reasons to do those things we know that God has told us otherwise. And it was a tragedy for Sarai. It was a tragedy for Abram. And it was a tragedy for Hagar. And it took them to a place they never thought they'd go. And then also, if that were not enough, human reasoning will lead us to ongoing struggles, and it will keep us in that dark place much longer than we ever thought it could possibly happen. Look at verse 12. This happens. Now again, Sarai comes and she abuses in some way or other Hagar so bad that Hagar runs away. And God sends an angel and finds her out in the desert at this at a spring, at a well. And he talks to her. And he says, you got to go back and you got to endure the suffering. But God is noticing you. And this is what he tells about the son she's about to bear. You're going to have a son. He's going to be a father of a great nation. Then we get to verse 12 and he says, this man will be like a wild donkey. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand will be against him. He will live at odds with them and all his brothers. This happens almost 4,000 years ago. And for the rest of the Old Testament history, for the next 2,000 years, the children of Ishmael and his descendants are in direct opposition, political and military opposition, to the children of Isaac, who was born 14 years later, the son of Sarah and Abraham. They created a problem through their human reasoning that took them to a place they never imagined they would go and created dire, dire difficulties for the son they would later bear and his descendants that would plague them for generation to generation to generation, a situation that still lives today. 4,000 years later, this event, conducted from human reason, still plagues our world. And people are still in conflict who are these descendants. Now, let us understand what the lesson is here. This is not really a history lesson. The history doesn't matter so much. But what really matters is what the history teaches us. If the human reasoning led Sarai and Abram into a situation that was difficult for them and then difficult for their descendants for the rest of eternity, if that happened to them because they chose to walk a different way and they chose not to believe God, do not think for a moment that our reasoning is any better. Oh, but we're smarter than they are. No, we're not. No, we are not. We have the same nature of Sarai and Abram. And we are subject to the same errors, but we are subject to the same grace. God had made them promises. They stopped believing them, or their behavior at least showed that they didn't trust that. God has made us promises in His Son and in His resurrection and in the authority of the New Testament reality. And He has made us promises. The question is, do I believe Him? And if I say I do believe Him, is that belief strong enough to make a difference in how I live? Does it dictate my lifestyle? Does it show how I treat people differently? Does it show how I look at my own self differently? how important and how essential are the relationships that God has given me. As a husband, if I do not believe God, then I will do things in my own logic that will damage my relationship with my wife. As a father, if I go my own path and do not use my wisdom within the parameters that God has given me, then I will do things that will damage my relationship with my children. As a pastor, the same thing holds true. If I do not discipline myself to live within the wisdom that God gives me and use my reason within His parameters, His truths that the Bible gives us, I will not be a good pastor. And so it is in all of our lives, in all of our relationships. And God calls us to this. Here we have an example of people who made egregious errors. And it has horribly negative effects. Now the good news is we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will guide us in the right path. And if we will walk in the right path, we can avoid the result of the mistakes that these people made. Why? Because we've been forgiven. The blood of Christ covers our sin. The Holy Spirit still dwells in us. Now we still fall under temptation. We still struggle. We still, live within that the old nature, and it wars with our new nature in Christ, and all of these things come within us. But it comes down to a bottom line. Do you believe God? Do I trust God with the realities of my life? If I don't, I'm going to figure out stuff for myself, and things will really be a mess. And so God invites us to this, and He invites us to this today. First of all, believe the promises of God. God promises us He'll never leave us or forsake us. God promises us that if we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we come to the point of belief, if we choose to believe that Jesus died on the cross and that God raised Him from the dead, that He will redeem us and He will forgive us and He'll make us new creatures. And then we can follow all the promises that come from that. If you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, won't you receive Him today? Won't you begin your journey with Him today? And if you do know Christ as your Lord and Savior, then let the Spirit speak to you. Let Him speak to you in the depth of your heart. And let Him show you. This takes some courage, but let Him show you, are there adjustments? Are there things we need that we can really believe God, that maybe my reasoning has not been as effective as it should be? Let the Lord lead you in this. And then as He leads you, follow Him.